Welcome to the I Am a Woman podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Strickland, and I am so excited to have Lindsey Graham, the Patriot Barbie, back on the show this week. If you guys did not listen to her episode last week, she got vulnerable about sharing her story of abortion, her journey with body dysmorphia, her incredible journey of becoming a powerful voice in our nation through her experience with the COVID lockdown. So you guys literally have to listen to her. Lindsey, welcome to the show. So happy to have you back.
Thank you. It's good to be back. Our last episode was amazing. Thank you.
Yes, we're calling ourselves Barbie to Barbie, one Barbie to another Barbie. I'm the former Barbie. She's the Patriot Barbie. It works, people. It works.
Love it.
Okay. So I want to talk. I know you wrote a book, Targeted. Now, did that book, Lindsey, have to do with Target, your whole experience going in Target, or you were targeted because of the COVID lockdowns?
Yeah, nothing both. To do with Target. Like, Target hadn't even happened yet. That book came out in, I think, 2022.
It's crazy.
So that none of that stuff's even in the book. It was mostly about defying lockdowns and moving to Arizona and starting over. So okay. Target, yeah, the Target fiasco is all nice and new.
Yeah. So we talked last week about how you stood up against the COVID-19 lockdowns and became a national voice for patriots and women everywhere. Mm-hmm. So grateful for your voice and your bravery. What do you say to the people, Lindsey? Because I know this comes at you a lot more than me, but it also has come at me, and it can be painful, especially if it's mm-hmm. people that you love. But what do you say to the people who say, well, if you boycott Target, you're going to be, you know, labeled as homophobic and transphobic? Tell me about what led you to stand up for that and the kind of backlash you received. And yeah, just talk to me about that journey, because I think a lot of people are just afraid when we started saying, you know, hey, you know, and I didn't put my stance on that on social media, but I can tell you that I stopped spending money there and I stopped going there, and all of my girlfriends did, my family mm-hmm. members here in Texas did. When you started standing up against that, what happened? How do you respond to that kind of accusation?
I think it's important to remember the hypocrisy above all else. I mean, this is something that we talk about all the time with the left and the right, the hypocrisy. Okay. So it's not the same as homophobic and transphobic, because what it's really about is protecting children. That is the truth. Okay. If I walk into a public place and you have got these disgusting, vile, sexual items on display for children, that is my main concern. And that is, there is nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. And if you are going to cower to a woke mob instead of protect children, you should be ashamed of yourself, because protecting children is way, way more important. Now, I say that harshly, but if it convicts you and you're mad at me, maybe it rings a little bit of a truce. So now you need to step up next time. Mm-hmm. But here's the other thing. If you are a Bible-believing Christian and you don't believe in homosexuality, remember that if Target were to place at the front of the store a huge Jesus Christ is our Savior display, wouldn't the left be all up in arms and say, you're forcing your religion on us. You mm-hmm. are forcing this on our children. You are taking away our freedoms to disregard Jesus as the Savior. You're indoctrinating us. They would, wouldn't they? And yet we don't know, because that never happens, because we don't mm-hmm. actually do that. We don't force our religion on people. Couldn't we turn around and say, well, you're Christianophobic or you're Jesusophobic? We could make a name for it, a label for it, because that's what these are. They're labels that are completely made up, by the way. No one's afraid of gay people. I'm not afraid of gay people.
I love that you're honest about that. That is the funniest, like, that is the craziest thing I've probably ever been called. I've never been afraid of a gay person or any person, certainly not somebody who's got same-sex attraction or is identifies as trans. I mean, and again, who has the ability to call out what's inside of our hearts? Like, I'm sorry, did someone make you God, right?
Yep. Not only are we not these labels, you've made up these labels. We could make up the label Jesus phobic and start calling everybody who doesn't agree with our religion Jesus phobic. Couldn't we? Isn't that literally the exact same comparison?
Yeah, and but so, we don't play by the same rules. And those are thought reform tactics. I talk about this in my new book coming out, I Am a Woman, how the left uses thought reform tactics. And part of thought reform is labeling people, blackballing people, making up new terms, you know, all shaming people. But let's go back to the target issue. And I'm going to make sure my listeners understand what we're talking about here. You know, this season where here we are, we're coming upon Pride Month here. It's coming up again, right, in June. And again, I want to affirm this to my listeners. I love people who identify as gay or trans or non-binary or whatever that are in the Pride movement. I have people in my life who I love deeply, but I won't shop at Target. And every once in a while, I might grab something, but for the most part, I'm not going in there and I'm not supporting that company. And the reason why is I disagree with parading Pride memorabilia in front of children. How can we help people? Because the Bible says wisdom seeks understanding, right, Lindsay? That wisdom seeks understanding, it seeks knowledge. How can we articulate this for people? How does shopping at Target actually harm children? Do you think it really does? Are we dying on the right hill here? What do you think?
I think first
in
of
your
all,
heart.
Perspectively, let's remember that we're not even dying on this hill. If you don't shop at Target, your life is not over. Like, you know what I mean? You'll be just fine. You'll find another store.
She nails
Target
it again.
Is not that great. I haven't shopped there in, I want to say 6 years.
Whatever.
Right. And I'm fine. My life has moved on. Okay. So to boycott Target, yes, you are making a difference. It is a big difference because if we support with our dollars people that want to put sex in front of your children, then you are telling them with your dollars, it is okay. And that is what a boycott is. A boycott is saying, I will not give you my money because if I don't, then perhaps you'll rethink your actions when you lose money because that's all they care about, right? They don't care about our kids or they wouldn't have done this in the first place.
Yeah.
So if you take your children into Target, that is terrifying. If anyone is still doing that, that is terrifying because you are exposing them to this content. Yeah. That's problem number one. Now, let's say you're like, I'll go in there, but I won't take my kids. Wait, so you'll agree that Target shouldn't do it, but then you'll only sacrifice yourself so that there's no consequences. You're not making them sacrifice. You're just not spending time with your kids now because you're not taking them to Target. Who suffers? Your children. Not Target. They're still getting the money.
Yeah. And you know, I think really it comes down to that we just have a choice where we spend our money and what kind of, you know, I'm probably never going to look at a Bud Light can the same, you know, after they put Dylan Mulvaney on it. And not that I was a Bud Light fan before, but if I had a bar, I wouldn't serve it. I wouldn't serve it because it demeans womanhood. And this demeans childhood sexuality. And, you know, for me, the tipping point was seeing like a queer t-shirt, like a baby onesie. I was like, okay, I'm done. Like I'm done with this. So where do you, when it comes to choosing where to spend your dollars, where do you shop? Amazon and Target, how do you replace those?
Okay. So this is so funny that we're talking about this. I have a partnership with a company that's American made that is all conservative owned. Okay. All toxic free. It's myfreedomcart.com is where you can get info.
Okay.
I ditched Amazon about a year and a half ago.
Okay.
And the reason I was able to ditch Amazon is because of this company. I was like every other woman, and I'm still like every other woman. I want convenience and I want affordability. And I was willing to spend more money and drive farther to not support Amazon and to not support Target. But this company gave me the affordability and the freedom and the convenience without sacrifice. Okay. So I use my freedom cart for all of my household toiletries, cosmetics, makeup, protein supplements, cleaning supplies. And then I use Public Square app. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Sure. Yeah. App,
to find other like-minded businesses when it comes to clothing, shoes. I support all like women-based companies. Like this headband is from a Christian woman. She owns the company Adorned, and it's all very biblically based. And she sends scriptures in her. And I'm like, this is where I want to spend my money. I want to support these people. So there are alternatives. I feel like people aren't actively looking for them, or they're so worried that it's going to cost them something. And I'm like thinking to myself, in the end times, does Jesus promise that it's going to be easy or convenient or fabulous or that everything's going to stay the same and we're just going to be different and set apart? We have to choose to be set apart. We have to choose to say, okay, you can't credit me for shopping at this place because it's cheaper and easier. You're going to credit me because it's not cheaper and easier, and I'm still doing it anyway. Like, there's where my conviction is. No one will give you any credit if you say, I'm shopping at this store because it has my values. Well, of course you are. It's closer to your house. Everything's cheaper, blah, blah, blah. No, you have to see that I'm willing to go out of my way to choose to support these companies, even if it costs me something.
Do you want to find alternative places to shop that support your family values? There is no reason a freedom-loving patriot should be shopping at and supporting woke companies like Amazon or Target. These companies abuse your dollars and donate back to organizations that stand against what you value. Please join us here at the I Am a Woman podcast by changing your shopping habits to support one company that stands for freedom, traditional values, and the American dollar. My Freedom Cart is a one-stop shop online for all your household reusables. We're talking about toothpaste, body wash, skincare, makeup, snack, coffee, laundry, dish soap, cleaning supplies. Over 500 products at your fingertips, all safe and affordable for your entire family, the kiddos too. They have their own high end of vitamins, medicines, and supplements to keep your family healthy. And to highlight it even more, the products are safe, toxic-free, and made right here in America. You could do your shopping online and have all your home consumables sent right to your front door at Amazon prices, all without 1 cent going to any cause that doesn't align with your values. We support police, military, veterans, and above all else, freedom. My Freedom Cart. Join our exclusive club today and start voting with your dollars while creating a toxic-free home and saving money. Go to myfreedomcart.com/IAMWOMAN and submit your info to join. That's myfreedomcart.com/IAMWOMAN to get started. One of our Patriot team members will call you to get you fighting the good fight alongside us.
And then Public Square is publicsq.com. And that is a marketplace of conservative businesses. So like Adorned is on there. My Patriot Barbie shop is on there. My Pretty Little Patriot fashion brand is on there. If I'm looking for a mechanic in my area, I go to Public Square and I look for a mechanic that has values aligned with mine. It's like literally no woke companies. It's amazing.
Okay. We're all doing that. Hello. We're jumping on the train. We're jumping on the train. We needed Lindsay to push us over the edge here.
I know all the ways. I know all the tricks.
I know you do. Okay. So let's talk about the trans activist movement. Lindsay, I've studied this movement very, very closely. I go into a lot of depth in my new book about it coming out in June, but there's thought reform tactics that are being used. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with the accusations of being unloving towards trans people when you're just standing on the definition of what it is to be female? Do you just let that stuff roll off your back at this point? Because, I mean, you're a pretty big influencer. Did it ever bother you? Does it bother you now? What is your answer to that?
It does not bother me now, because when you're as deeply involved in speaking truth boldly as I am, I'm inviting that kind of hate, because I'm not secretly believing these things. I am putting them out. I'm making myself the enemy of my enemy, which is awesome, because my enemy is wrong and I'm right. And I live in knowing truly and fully, this is what I believe because the Bible says so. This is what I believe because God told me this is the truth. And so there is no name you can call me that I believe, because my God has told me otherwise. So let me remind people of this, especially when the term hateful comes up, right? You guys are so hateful. You're bigoted. Those are the terms. How hateful is it for you? How hateful is it of you that you think men should be able to use the restroom with my little girl? That is so hateful. That is so bigoted of you to be okay with endangering the lives of my daughter. And I never make it about me. I have my Second Amendment rights. I'll defend myself. But always make it about the little innocent children who can't defend themselves. How hateful is it that you would endanger my child? That is so hateful of you. That is hateful. And
that's interesting that you basically like parrot back to that person the argument that they're making. And see, I would make the argument that a man's purpose is to protect women and children, period. And so instead of, well, you, I would go back with, okay, truth. What you're saying is truth. We're just talking this through. We're talking this through because everybody out there who is willing to define a word called woman is going to be persecuted. And we know that persecution increased in the last days. Nobody ever guessed it would be under the gender, over gender, or the definition of who we are. But my answer to the men in the women's bathrooms is, a man was called by God and designed by God to be a protector and a provider. And that is his calling and his dignity. And women are weaker, like the facts. Let's talk facts. Okay, so we are weaker and therefore more deserving, because the Bible teaches that we speak up for the voice of the voiceless, the vulnerable, like your daughter. And it's the call of the mothers. Don't you agree with this, Lindsay, that it is the call of the mothers of our generation, of our, you're younger than I am, but it's the mama's call. To defend the bathroom bills for the daughters. Mm-hmm. It's the mama's call to go to the school board meeting and the PTA meeting and to the legislature and with our vote and with our voice to protect the children of this nation from the gender ideology movement, which exposes adult men to little girls. That's the real reason for me, is you're not protecting little girls. And that's what God expects of you to do. Us too.
Yeah. And the problem with telling these men, you shouldn't be doing this because you're supposed to be protecting these little girls, they can't even fathom it because they're so busy being delusional that they are women. They're like, but no, but I am a woman. You're like, but you can't get through to them because their brain is screwed up. I really believe, honestly, I believe it's demonic. I mean, of course, we believe it's demonic. I believe these are demons possessing these people. Because no other reason. We sat here last episode and talked about body dysmorphia. What kind of severe demon must you have to think, oh, not my lips are too big, or they're too small, or my ears are too large. Oh, I'm completely the wrong gender. What kind of demon must that be? So how in the world can you speak and preach and convince and bring life to a demon?
Something that you can't, somebody you can't reason with. Yeah.
Yes,
well, the gender dysphoria, you know, was always categorized as a mental disorder. They've tried to change that and say that it's not mental, but it is mental. It is painful. It is difficult. It is uncomfortable. It is a virus in a way that has fallen on the young girls of this generation as a social contagion. Mm-hmm. And it's our responsibility to speak up as moms. And for you, I just want to applaud you because I've watched you. I'm not on social media that much, but when I go on there, I see you and I'm like, this woman is fearless and unafraid to actually fulfill the definition of the word woman, which is to help mankind and to oppose sin. In my studies of the word woman, I discovered that the Ezer Kenegdo from Genesis is one who will oppose sin, help mankind, and rescue them in their time of need. And it's our responsibility. It's our responsibility mm-hmm. as women. What would you say about the church being so silent? Not all churches, obviously, but this is kind of an interesting question. Okay, I want to ask you. I tend to do this on the podcast. I notice this watching back. I ask the question, then I comment, then I go back to the question. But I want to say. I want to see what's like in my head. So, I want to talk about this silence of the church, but you know, I grew up doing, you know, Beth Moore Bible studies and, you know, not grew up, but I mean my early years as a Christian in my early 20s, I did a lot of those kinds of resources and tons of Bible studies. And I've noticed now there's like this chasm. There's the women that I did their read their books and Bible studies for the last like 15, 20 years, and they're echoingly silent mm-hmm. on this topic. Like they are not addressing what's happening with the kids, the trans movement, the pride movement. Like they're not talking about, even though it's deeply biblical, the male and female issue is deeply biblical. Like it's biblical through and through. And then there are the women like you. And I'm like, I pick you because I like the because I love respect, honor all these women who are, you know, mega celebrities, whatever, in the Christian world that have made a huge difference in women's lives, you know, when it comes to knowing the word. But living the word, I see you and the younger moms like you speaking up. What would you say about this silence in the church? What's your message to women who are just, I don't know, afraid to speak up, I guess?
I have a conflicting answer because so much of me, like in, you know, the last few years has said to people like, why aren't you doing enough? And why aren't you doing this? And why aren't you doing that? And then I was convicted, like, we're not all called to do the same thing. Not everyone can do what I'm doing. And so for me to expect everyone to do what I'm doing is radical. That's not realistic. And that's not what God says. God says I have a role for everyone. So then I say, okay, well, are these women in ministry not feeling, because how do I know? Are they not feeling convicted to speak about this? Or are they, and we have to judge their discernment and their fruits, or are they so worried about losing their ministry money, their ministry support, that they've chosen that silence is the best option so that they don't make either side mad? And that's what we have to decide for ourselves is ministry woman number one, you're not speaking on this. So I think we deserve an answer. Is God not calling you to speak on it? Because that seems irrational that he wouldn't call you to speak up during an end time biblical issue like this. Mm-hmm. Or are you more worried about getting canceled? How many tranny men are in your audience? That's my question. Why would you get canceled from a group of Christian people that should agree with you? Why would you be worried about getting canceled by them?
Well, and even the people in our audiences who might be, you know, struggling with their gender. I mean, I speak in the prisons and I've had some men in the women's prisons sitting right in the front row as I've been speaking on the word woman, and I don't condemn them. I'm calling them to Jesus. Like I'm calling mm-hmm. them to know their true identity in Christ. And I've only bonded, honestly, only bonded with people who deal with same-sex attraction and transvestite identities and so forth. So I think you make the best point. And I think that's just how I need to make peace with it too, honestly, is, you know what? Maybe the Lord's just not calling them to it. And it doesn't matter because he's called me to it. He has mm-hmm. called me to it. He has called me to speak the truth in love on this topic. Mm-hmm. And he's called you to it.
In the same note, however, I do think that there are pastors and churches, there's, like you say, there's, if it's a topic we're discussing, there's certainly not enough willing to speak on these hard topics. And I do think that it's something we should be very careful of. I would never, and I just left a church that would not talk about abortion, transgenderism, you know,
what's happening in the culture.
Anything going on in society, which is relevant. This is relevant to Christians. This is our war. We're in it. And you're not talking about it? You're not empowering us to stand up for truth?
Yeah. Yeah. We're all talking about it at home. We're all talking about it at home with our families, with our friends, with our sisters, with our husbands. We're all having this conversation. What is going on in the world and where do I take a stand and do I pull my kids? Do I keep them? You know, reading the sex ed curriculums. I mean, this is so important. And part of the problem is that a lot of these churches don't allow women to speak to the congregation because women open their mouth in the congregation, which I believe that God designed us to do under respect and headship authority of men. I totally believe that the Lord calls us to speak. If women were speaking in these churches, they would be addressing it because women would bring, I don't even think this many babies would have been aborted in this movement because women would have brought it up in the congregation. On Sunday mornings, they would have said the biggest problem in our nation is that our girls are going and getting abortions. Yeah. They would have just talked about it because that's what we talk about. The girls are having sex outside of marriage. We would talk about the concerns that are heavy on the hearts of women. But because of oppressive men silencing women in the church, we've had no voice. And I believe that that has to be course corrected for the word woman to be restored to our nation. It has to be course corrected. That's why I wrote this book. But you're living it. Go ahead.
And men... If you are a man that believes that the man is on the pulpit only, then you better do your job. And what you just said is right. It is their job to defend women. So they better be speaking on the pulpit about it because that is also their job to stand up for us and defend us. And if a man feels like, well, how am I supposed to do this? Well, then good. Hand the microphone to someone that has authority. And that would be any woman at all that's living and walking in Jesus Christ. Any woman at all. Like,
pastors, because we're created in God's likeness to speak on behalf of mankind and to uphold mankind. That's why God created us to be his part of his voice and part of his bride and to defend the children. And you're exactly right. Even if it is a church that is so conservative that only men are allowed to speak from the pulpit, which is not, in my view, a completely biblical view of womanhood at all. But if that's the case, then you should be speaking on our behalf because that's the definition of the word male is one who remembers the commands of God and lives them out and upholds and supports women and protects them, provides for them. And this is the issue of the day. This is the issue of the day. So
I would wager to say, and against my better judgment, and of course, because it's the truth, and cancel me if you want, I would say that more likely a pastor who is not speaking about these things going on is less likely that God is not calling him to, and more likely that he's ignoring the voice of God, and he's not living and raising and tending his sheep the way he should. So I think that there's very few, if there is, which is why I don't want to give pastors an excuse. If you're not discussing abortion and transgenderism and the war on our children, then I think you're not paying attention. I think you're too afraid of losing your congregation. I think you're afraid of losing your platform. I think you're afraid of being canceled. Or I think you're blatantly ignoring the voice of God. Or you're not listening to God. Therefore, how did you hear the message? That's my wager. I think less likely is there a pastor who's like, no, I haven't heard the voice of God tell me to speak on modern day situations that clearly showcase we're in end times and spiritual war. Haven't heard it. I call BS on that. I call BS.
This is why.
If God is speaking to a lowly hairstylist from Oregon, don't tell me he's not speaking to you. Come on.
Oh, I love it.
I'm listening, and I'm not afraid of losing anything for the truth. Yeah, they are.
The voice of reason joins the Iowa Woman podcast. Well, part of it is they don't know that. Part of it, honestly, Lindsay, is that over the centuries, really, the word woman has been mistranslated. Mm-hmm. In the Bible. And so that's what I go after in my new book. But, and so part of it is if the church was going to actually define the word woman, they would have to look at the original Hebrew. And if they looked at the original Hebrew, they would have to admit they've gotten it wrong by suppressing women and silencing women. Because part of the woman's name is the one who would bring revelation and light and truth through the power of her voice. And so over these centuries, women being silenced doesn't stack up to mm-hmm. the Hebrew definition of woman in Genesis 1:27. So and so that's part of it is like, if I define the word woman, I would have to maybe look at my entire denomination, mm-hmm. which has been suppressing the voices of women. When the word woman in Genesis means one who would speak. Mm. So what do I do with that?
This is where all the pastors are like,
No,
let's just keep going the way we're going. Even if it's wrong, just to save face.
Yeah, but instead of defining the word female, which is in the ancient Hebrew, it's one who will continue the cycle of life and protect the seed inside of her womb. And so it's like, if you don't want to talk about the womb, mm-hmm. You're missing the beauty and majesty of what it really means to be a woman, Yeah. And so I love that you do that. I love that you're honest about it.
Thank you.
That's awesome. Okay, you guys, I think we could just like, I know you have all fallen more episodes. In love. Yeah, we could. When I'm in a pinch, can I call you?
Yes, totally.
Barbie to Barbie. I need it. I need a guest today.
I got a list of powerful women you could have on for guests. I mean,
let's do
powerful
it.
Women. So
yeah. Let's do it. We're going to have some fun in 2024. Mm. Okay. So where can people get your book targeted?
Shop everywhere. PatriotBarbie.com.
Oh, shop again. Okay. So we're going to put all of the links in the show notes, you guys. I will have them up on my social media and website and all that stuff. But where do people follow you also on social media, Lindsay?
I'm mostly active on Instagram, which is the.patriot.barbie. And then my general website is patriotbarbie.com. And shopping my merch is shoppatriotbarbie.com.
Okay.
That's where you can find my book and my merch and all that. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, I consider you a new friend.
Me too. Thank you.
I've had so much fun having you on the show. I told my husband, I'm so excited the Patriot Barbie is coming on the show. He was like, is that the one that was boycotting Target? I was like, yeah, that's the one. That's my girl. Okay. Well, I've had a great time. Thank you for being on the show. And we'll continue this conversation as time goes on. Okay.
Sounds good. Thank you, Jennifer, so much.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, everybody out there, remember you are a woman and your voice, your name means life. So I want you to make sure today to bring life with the words that you speak. Take care and we'll see you guys next time.